It's official. We're less than 20 months from the next presidential election. And while early candidates are already crowding the field for Democrats, there are still some insights to be gained from the midterm elections this past November. And that includes a new analysis that gives fresh perspective to those results. Our contributing editor, Neil Milner, is here with his segment, The Long View, to share some of that perspective. And Neil, this is a story that starts with a different approach to interpreting the voting results.
Yes, it does. First of all, it tries to dig deeper than just the change in the number of House seats to see. It looks more dramatically and thoroughly at the change in the distribution of Democratic versus Republican votes. And it does it by county, which is a really interesting different perspective. There are 3,100 counties in the United States. If you just look at a map of how the counties voted in 2016 or 2018, I should say, the map looks almost entirely red with little specks of blue for Democrats because the majority of counties vote Republican by far. But they're small counties, and we're not talking when we talk about elections. So what he does is to look county by county to see what it shows in terms of trends. And you can think about it in terms of increasing direness for Republicans if you interpret his data. The first thing he shows, what he does is compare each county, the percentage they voted Democratic in 2016 for the presidency compared to how they voted in 2018 for the House of Representatives seats. Okay, the first thing he discovers is that the overall Democratic margin increased from plus two. Remember in 2016, Hillary Clinton got more votes than Donald Trump to plus nine. Right. So that's already a little bit of worry for the Republicans. The second thing is that 80% of the counties in the United States, and remember most counties look red, 80% of the counties in the United States in 2018, in the midterms, increased their support for the Democratic candidate. That doesn't mean they all went Democratic, but there is a pervasive increase in Democratic votes. And so you have most of the country, about 80% of the country, in which the Democrats moved in the direction that we all knew they moved from looking at the number of House seats, but this is a more dramatic thing. And then we go to something that's even more dire for the Republicans, and that is the counties that showed the greatest increase in Democratic support are Trump counties. That is, they're counties that have a relatively high level of older, white, non-college graduates.
And that has another implication. You're talking about popular vote, basically, in the start of this. But what you're moving on towards now affects more dramatically the Electoral College.
Ah, yes. If you're looking at reasons to keep Zantec around your house, if you're a Republican, this is the one, baby. Because what he then does is he says, okay, let's aggregate the Democratic vote and the Republican vote in each state. Pretend it's like a presidential election, an electoral college, where, of course, winner takes all. If you do that and translate this into electoral things, bottom line is the Democrats get 293 electoral votes. They carry the key states that they didn't carry in 2000. They carry Pennsylvania, they carry Michigan, they carry Wisconsin, and for little bonuses, they pick up Iowa and Arizona. Those states have different histories in regard to the Democratic Party. And so you have to understand that that's a hypothetical choice, but all of this suggests that if you look at trends and you look at some of the long-term effects, that you see something that's a little bit more dramatic than if you just count the number of House seats.
And that's also in terms of getting down to the granular level of, as you say, on a county-by-county analysis. Some of these areas of the sort of the common wisdom holds that urban areas are Democratic, small rural areas will go Republican, but in terms of the suburbs, and there's a lot of focus in pundit land on, you know, suburban moms in particular in terms of voting behavior. But this seems to indicate a swing to the Democrats with those very specific, very important group of voters.
Yeah. Well, first of all, the swing, every every category that you usually use, you know, kind of census categories, suburban, emerging suburban, rural, urban. So from the most pro-democratic things, urban counties, to the least democratic things, which tend to be rural, there was an increase in democratic support. Now, again, that doesn't mean that the Democrats are suddenly going to win 52% of the vote right. in some county in Idaho, but it means there is a movement in that direction. And the thing about what the pundits say about all of these things, I think you have to be very careful, especially at this stage of the presidential race. Most of the candidates and are really unformed right now. I don't mean intellectually unformed. They really haven't had a chance to campaign, and we really haven't developed. It's only the political junkies that really have any sense of this right now. And it's not surprising that NPR is now calling its introduction to candidates, where the candidates get to speak, as something like First Take. So if you want to get some kind of perspective on the 2020 presidential election, you look at some of the that is better information for now. You look at some of the more fundamental things that seem to affect elections. This kind of trend analysis may be one. The presidential popularity, approval rating is always another. The nature of the economy, thus the advantage that an incumbent has. So I guess part of what I draw out of this when I read it is that it's a reminder that there are things you need to keep in context. And that these things are out there right now well before you're going to have any kind of really good vision of whether Cory Booker is better than, I can't remember the guy's name, the governor of Washington, who's now running.
Jay Inslee. But that's, so here's another sort of argument going on within the Democratic Party right now, this great debate of what did, and again, part of it touches on what were the lessons of the midterms. Was this a victory for the more left-of-center faction, or was this a victory for the centrists? And what? How does that inform the Democratic strategy for the strategy of the Democrats for 2020?
Yeah, if you look at the numbers, the moderate there are more moderate candidates that won than the farther to the left. One of the reasons is that if you were running in a closer district, a more competitive district, you were less likely to run as a more progressive candidate. The progressive candidates that emerged, the ones that are getting all of the attention, were really the incredibly successful outliers. Now, there is such a struggle within the party about this that they could probably use this evidence in all kinds of ways. I think this evidence suggests generally that the Democrats, there is a kind of wave in the direction of Democrats. It appears as if, and that's not part of this, it appears as if the primary thing motivating voters right now when they think about elections is how do you defeat the other party?
It's not so much being for something, it's being against
that's
something.
Right. And what that does, I mean, in lots of ways, that's very toxic. And there's a paper that just came out about the partisanship that is really pretty scary. But what it does suggest is that the people who identify as either Democrats or Republicans, which is, I don't know, 85% of the people who vote, are going to vote strategically. And so ultimately, whoever gets the Democratic nomination, the fight between the progressives and the moderates may get leavened because people are more concerned with beating Donald Trump, who's almost for sure going to be the candidate in 2020.
Interesting insights. I know that it's early talking about the 2020 election, but it's also interesting insights from the midterms that not a lot's been written
about. It's extraordinarily early, and it's going to get heavier.
That's all right. Wisdom there for the moment, at least. Neil Milner, retired professor of political science and contributing editor of our segment, The Long View. Neil, thanks for being along.
Sure.